Good afternoon, everybody. On behalf of the entire board, I apologize for keeping you all waiting. We continue to do our best. It's not always enough, and we'll try to improve things in the future.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I'd like to introduce to you and acknowledge Provost Lon Kaufman, who's sitting in here for Chancellor Alan Mears this afternoon. Lon is at his very first board meeting as provost and vice chancellor. And so we're welcome, Lon, and as time passes, you'll get to know the members of the trustees very, very well. So thank you for sitting in.
Thank you for having me.
We continue our theme of embracing the arts during our board meeting, and this afternoon we have two wonderfully accomplished and incredibly patient students who are going to share some poetry with all of us. I was concerned during the long and extensive executive committee meeting closed session that they might not be able to stick around this afternoon, and I might have to fill in for them with a long rendition of Robert Service's The Cremation of Sam McGee. But I'll save that for another time. Hopefully when all of you have had a cocktail or two. In any case, we've got a couple of students from the Urbana campus. We're going to begin with Dan Klein, who will read The Farm and a poem that he wrote in Prague in the laundromat below my apartment.
So hello again, everyone. I'm Dan Klein. I'm a senior double majoring in English and rhetoric here with a minor in business. First off, Rachel and I would like to thank you, everyone on the board, for this opportunity to read. Both of these are pretty short, so I'll just go straight into them. The first one, The Farm, is a little bit older. So here we go, The Farm. She stands in the field. I walk across the cold, black dirt. Her round figure is clothed in a coarse dress. The wheat cut down, peasants picked over the remains. These dry, flaking bits were once the body of a shimmering breeze in summer. This is a land of outcasts. The sun's light wanes with perpetual groans. The trees shake it off, cover their ears, leaves rustle. I unsheath her shoulders. The shell cracks open, the fragile seed exposed. Winter and night peer with greed from the dark side of the earth, but I have time. I split marbles of dirt to create a crater to lay her down in. With palms full of dead soil, I seal the sanctified tomb. I leave her in darkness, sheltered from darkness. She grows, I hear nothing. And the second one, that one's a little bit older. The second one I'm going to read was done this summer in Prague. I went through scholarship in the English department to a one-month poetry workshop. And so this one is called In the Laundromat Below My Apartment. In the laundromat below my apartment, a child eats a grapefruit his mother sliced open after buying it at the farmer's market. He is in love with the sugar she pinched on the exposed center. The rind will end in the garbage across from the man who always has a telescope under his arm. He watches meteors fall to their deaths on his sister's farm. Understanding what attracts them to showing one brilliant moment of light, the telescope translates their shining. The laundromat owner says Blackhawk was buried there after they forced him never to watch the Illinois sunrise again from the back of a horse. I doubt it, like I doubt the woman who picks her fingernails, flicking the marbles of dirt into vases of flowers men give her. She keeps them on her windowsill, but never waters them. I brought her a pink carnation once, thinking it was the color of her window lock. She told me she had a man in Singapore. He put a white lotus in her hair while lighting a candle on a river during the Festival of Lights. He said it was like meteors drifting in the pond of a galaxy. I often think about asking the man with the telescope if he will let me in on this secret by looking into the rotund gateway of his translator, or if he will at least put my doubts to rest. But this would be like my first confession when I was unable to let the light in of some other being. Thank you.
This is Rachel Mijak, and we welcome you, and I thought it was great to have a little color about the trip to Europe, and to the degree that you want to share any of that with us, I'm sure we'd like to hear it.
Absolutely. Hi, everybody. My name's Rachel Mijak. I completed my undergraduate degree here in December 2010, and I'm currently getting my master's degree in human resources now. So the first poem, I have two poems for you. One's called Cadavers, and the other one's called The Deli. So I'll just delve right into them. Cadavers. Students unveil small sections of face to avoid humanizing, to avoid attachment, like a one-night stand. I only see parts of its parts hiding beneath a white sheet. To practice scalp reduction, I uncover a grove of black hair, soft, unexpected. But I have to shave it. But I slip over boundaries, stumble on an unwrinkled forehead and filmed over eyes. Bridge of a crooked nose, mouth taut on teeth. Perhaps his hobby was homebrewing thick Indian pale ales at head bite. Burned potato chips at the bottom of the Lay's bag were his favorite food. Max, his black Labrador, still waits by the window for him to come home. I can almost remember us lying in bed. I trace a scar that marks his chin from when he was drunk on a New Year's before he met me. When we kiss, I always wait for the scratch of the indent rubbing against my own chin. My scalpel scrapes his skin, but I'm afraid to puncture it. I touch his heart through the sheet, a solid lump. I wait for the beat, some rhythm to work to, only mine pulses faster. His stare fixes on my face. I have his full attention. Milky jade gleams even after I try to push the lids down like they do in the movies, force them down with my thumbs, and they continue to open. I throw the sheet back on, but we are alone, exposed under these lights, him and I. And then the second poem I have for you, The Deli. Mexican butchers sealed behind glass counters mimic the lunch meats they dispense. With each push of the slicer, animal fat and scraps of Latino skin are hacked away. Brand-named women scrutinize each slice of turkey that will adorn their children's Wonder Bread. Blue tickets flail as they lie about a number in order to be served first. Butchers close tired eyes for just a second and hear the soft scraping of spoon to poblano pepper ribs. They're Marias and Rosalines whittling heirloom recipes. Awakened by English commands, the men are only obliged to carve the turkey thinner. Bleached teeth grind and blue eyes roll as the weight comes up 0.0 pounds too heavy. Mexican men cry, "Next, numero 149, echoing what their boss told them. "Yell like you love this job, for Christ's sakes." They slaughter and serve out quarter pound Rosaline, half pound Maria, pieces of Mexico City and chili relleno, and labadera with an eagle holding a snake. Each portion handed out in a plastic bag with a white sticker to lock in freshness, each man kissing his envelope shut, sending their wives prayers and paychecks. Thank you.
Well, that was great. It was a real treat for all of us. Thank you. So I think we have to finish your committee's report.
And we have one more report.
And it feels like it's been going on all day.
This will be a record for the longest time it's taken this committee report. We do have one final report, and that's Julie Zamaitis, Director of Audits for the company, to give us the annual audit report for the Board of Trustees. Julie, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. This is going to be a tough act to follow. thank you very much. I'd like to, in the interest of time, just briefly cover a summary of some of our internal audit performance metrics for this past fiscal year. And the